The name of our lesson tonight is God rather than men. Kind of continuing the lessons that the Lord has given us related to the government and to our nation. And we're going to talk some tonight about how we deal with governments or leaders when they don't act like they should. I think, and I'm not 100% sure, but possibly over the next week or two, we may look at a number of examples in the scriptures. Now, we'll talk about several of them tonight, but we're not going to look at them in detail. So the basic rule when we're dealing with human authority is always obey God, obey human authorities in every way possible. Always obey God no matter what, and obey the human authorities that He has put over us in every way that we possibly can. In every way, and we're going to look at some graphs that'll help us to kind of see that, some illustrations. So we should submit to human authorities in every way that they are operating within the authority that God has given them. When they go outside of that and try to tell us to do something that is contrary to God's will for us, that is when we can disobey, when we should disobey. But in every other situation, we should be obedient to them. And I think some very important things come out of that. Obedience to human authorities in every possible way makes our disobedience that much more powerful. As with the apostles and Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We see in those examples people that obeyed the authorities around them in every way that they could. They were very respectful to those authorities, even though the authorities that they were dealing with were ungodly, some of them were idolatrous, and very evil. Yet they submitted themselves to their authority in every way that they used their authority in a way that God would approve of. The only ways that they disobeyed their authority was when they tried to do something that God would not approve of. And we'll see examples of that. For the apostles, the leaders in Jerusalem told them not to preach Christ, and they disobeyed them. For Daniel, he was told not to pray to anybody but the king, and he disobeyed that command and prayed to God like he was told to by God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were told by the king to worship him, and they could not do that because God said that we should only worship God and no others. So they disobeyed in those situations. But because they were so obedient in every other way, that disobedience really had an impact. Like if we are generally rebellious towards authority, when we legitimately disobey, they can't tell the difference between that and all the other disobedience and all the other disrespect that we show to them. But if we show them the proper respect at all times, we obey them in every way possible, when we disobey them, that has an impact. They have to go, oh, wait a minute. I mean, these are, like with Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the king was like, these are my best people. And they're disobeying me. Now I've got to deal with that. Why is that happening? And even in the case of Daniel, even though he recognized that Daniel was being set up and that he was very concerned about Daniel living in the lion's den, he came first thing in the morning to make sure he was still alive. Our obedience to authority in every way possible makes our disobedience when it's necessary very, very powerful testimony. Also, an interesting thing that I noticed is that our obedience can hide our disobedience, as with the midwives in Moses' birth. So Pharaoh had decreed that every Hebrew boy that was born should be killed, because he was trying to stop them from multiplying. The midwives started disobeying that command. And with Moses, they put him in the little floating raft of whatever kind it was, and he floated down in front of the king's daughter and was saved by that and eventually saved Israel. If those people were just generally rebellious against the authority, they would not have been in a place to where they could disobey when they had to. God said, thou shalt not kill. So they was disobeying the command from the Pharaoh to kill these children. That's very similar to someone in a health industry disobeying the command to be a part of abortions by their superiors. They may get fired as a result. They may get put in jail as a result. But you have to disobey the authority in that situation. Same way here. But if we are obedient in every other way, then it's possible for that obedience to put us in a position where we can help people decide not to do abortions in that case, or where in this case the midwives could not actually kill the children. And their obedience in every other way covered that up. Now, there are times when God tells individuals to challenge the authority of leaders, as with Moses and Pharaoh. When a leader gets off of God's plan, even though God put them there originally, and sometimes he puts them there for this purpose, so that he can confront them and show his power, as the Bible says about Pharaoh. He will raise up a person and send them to confront that leader. There are a number of examples of that in Scripture. Moses and Pharaoh is one of those examples. And when that happens, the authorities, just like Pharaoh, despise these individuals. They do not like being challenged by this person. But God called that person to do that and sent them to challenge that leader, oftentimes with the end result being bringing that leader down. Now, it is not always easy for others to realize what God is doing through this person. With Moses, he went to that leader, to Pharaoh. He said, God says, let my people go. Even though he freed the Israelites and delivered them from Egypt, taking them to the promised land, the Israelites didn't always appreciate what Moses did. And they oftentimes longed to go back to Pharaoh. So you'll see that there will be a person who God has raised up to challenge the authority of a leader who's gone astray, and even their own people that should be with them will turn against them. Because one reason is that it stirs up a lot of trouble for them. The Egyptians no doubt consider Moses to be the worst of troublemakers. You know, the Egyptians, they suffered all those plagues. And from their perspective, this Moses guy was the one responsible for it. So oftentimes when God raises up somebody to challenge authority, the people that should be with them, that they're challenging the authority for, will be against them because it's making things difficult for them. The ones like the Egyptians will be against them because it's making life hard for them. So we need to be careful, and we need to make room in our thinking for individuals that God has raised up to challenge human authority rather than to submit to it, because their actions run contrary to the general teaching about submission to authority. They're challenging this authority instead of submitting to them because God told them to. And we need to make room for that as well. So the general rule is always obey God, obey human authorities in every way possible. The always obey God part means that if God calls us to challenge this authority, then we obey him and we challenge the authority rather than submit to it. But oftentimes it's a certain individual that he calls to that purpose. And when he does, we need to look for that. When we see somebody that claims to be speaking on God's behalf and challenging authority, we need to ask God to tell us, God, is that from you or is that not? And if it is from him, then we need to support them and pray for them. Now, these diagrams that I have are going to illustrate this three different ways. Illustrate the idea that we always obey God and his authority, and we obey human authorities in every way that we possibly can. So the first one, it says authority flow with the little stick men. We see God is at the top. And we saw last time in our lesson that every human authority in government that's put up is put there by God. He put some of them there for blessing. He put some of them there for cursing. He put some of them there like Pharaoh just so he can show his power by bringing them down. He put some of them there like Nebuchadnezzar to punish another people like Israel for their failure to serve him. And then he brings up other countries three generations later, as we saw last time, to then bring them down and punish them for their evil doing. So God puts all authorities in place. So we see here on the left side of this diagram that God puts all authorities in place and he delegates to them authority. And then the human authorities all have a conditional authority over the people that are underneath them. And the condition on that authority is that they're in line with what God would have them to do. If they go outside of that, they will answer to God for that.
Will you say that again?
So God delegates authority to leaders. Okay. So, like, the president of the United States has delegated authority from God. God put that person in place, no matter which president it is. And then whoever that president is, his authority over us as people in this country is conditional. He can't do whatever he wants to do. His authority is only valid as long as it aligns with what God would have him to do. When he gets outside of that, he's gone outside of the authority to God, right? So he doesn't have authority over me to tell me to worship another god. Just like Nebuchadnezzar did when he told Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to worship him. When he did that, he went outside of his authority and they disobeyed him. So every leader's authority is conditional based on what God's will is. He gave them the authority and they have to use it the way he wants them to. If they use it differently, which they often do, they're going to have to answer to him for it. Every person, the leaders and every other person underneath them, are all directly under the authority of God. Every individual person, whether they're a leader or not. And what we'll see is there'll be hierarchies of leaders, right? So like in our country, we have the president, then we have governors of states, then we have like sheriffs having authority over a county, we have mayors that have an authority over a city, and there's a hierarchy of those things. But every one of those people, even though they're under different human authorities, and we are as well, some different ones, every one of us, the leaders and us as individuals, are directly under the authority of God, and each one of us individually answer to him. So whenever this human authority goes outside of what God would have them to do, we still have to answer to God. So if they tell us to do something God told us not to do, we have to obey God rather than man, right? So we always obey God in that direct authority that he has over us, and in every way we possibly can, as long as that authority is working within the conditions that God has put on them, we are to obey them as well. Does that make sense? If you flip over the page, you'll see a diagram that's an illustration of this. So you can see on the right, the big green circle is God's will and what he would have done. If you look on the left, you see the pinkish-orangish circle is a human authority's will and what he wants to have done. And you see in the middle there, there's an overlap where the two agree. So you can see there's a line coming from the green box that says God's will to a human, to each person. We always are to obey his will. Then you see out of that middle section where it overlaps and God's will and the human authority's will for us is the same, thou shalt not kill is a good example, then we are to always obey that. So that's the times when we always obey the human leader. When their will, the thing they desire for us to do, overlaps with God's. On the left, you see this big area where the human authority's will is outside of God's will. That's when we are to disobey the human authority. They are asking us or telling us to do something that God said not to do, or they're telling us not to do something that he said to do. So this is a really easy way to visualize those kinds of things. So we always obey God, we always obey the leaders as long as what they want us to do overlaps with what God wants us to do, and we always disobey the human leaders whenever what they want us to do is outside of what God would allow us to do or want us to do. The last diagram that we're going to look at, the one that says human authority obedience matrix. This is a really simple way to think about when we obey or disobey human authority. So at the top, we have two columns. We have God's will and outside God's will. So there are things that are inside God's will and things that are outside God's will. On the left, we have two rows where you have human authority's will and things that are outside the human authority's will. So up in the upper left-hand corner, we have things that are God's will and things that are the human authority's will. It's the things that are in the middle of these two circles where they overlap. In that situation, we always obey the human authority. A good example of that is pay taxes. The human authority says pay taxes. God says pay taxes in Romans 13, 7. What will often happen is that people will say, well, this government is doing things with my tax money that I don't approve of. Therefore, I shouldn't pay taxes. It's immoral for me to pay taxes. That's not true. God tells us to pay taxes. He tells governments that they can levy taxes. And he tells the government you should use those taxes for right reasons. When they use them wrongly, the people that are going to answer for that are the leaders in authority that use them wrongly, not the citizens that pay the taxes. A good example of that is Jesus. Remember when the religious leaders came to Jesus and they were going to try to trick him up with this very thing, because a lot of people there is like, we shouldn't pay taxes to Rome because Rome is ungodly, they're heathen, we shouldn't pay taxes, then we should just pay the temple taxes. So they came to Jesus and they tried to trip him up and get him in trouble with Rome so they could get him killed. They said, what should we do? Should we pay taxes to Caesar in Rome, or should we pay taxes to God and the temple? Because then the Levites were funded, they're part of the inheritance of the kingdom, or the promised land, was that everybody would give a tenth of what they had to the Levites to support them. They said, which should we pay? That temple tax to support the Levites, or should we pay taxes to Caesar? And Jesus, remember that story, right? He said, well, give me the coin from Caesar. He said, whose picture is this? And they said, Caesar's. He said, we'll render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what is God's. God said, do both of those things. God said, pay taxes. And God said, support the Levites. So they were to do both of those things. Now, we shouldn't think that Rome, everything they did with their tax income was good stuff. They didn't. They did lots of very bad things with that income. But Jesus said pay those taxes because God's will was that we pay taxes and the human authority's will was that we pay taxes. Therefore, we should pay taxes. If they use that tax money wrongly, God will punish them for that. Just like Rome is no longer an empire. It's gone. Now, if you look in the bottom right, you'll see that lines up with things that are outside God's will and things that are outside the human authority's will. In that case, we should also always obey the human authority. So God says, don't murder. Our country has a law that says what? Don't murder. Therefore, we should not murder. We should obey the human authority in that situation. So every time that something is outside of God's will, don't murder, and it's outside the human authority's will, don't murder, we should obey that human authority, right? So those are pretty obvious, right? Anytime they're in agreement, either that we should or should not do something, then we are bound to obey the human authority in that situation. Now, if the human authority's will is that we do something, and that something is outside of God's will, then we should disobey the human authority. Example of that is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being told by Nebuchadnezzar that they were to worship the king, and they refused to. There were consequences, right? They didn't just get away with it. The king said, okay, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to throw you into this fiery furnace. And he said, people, make that fiery furnace hotter than it's ever been before. It was so hot that the guards that threw them in there were consumed as well. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not consumed because God protected them. And just think how powerful of a statement that was. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were three of his best people. They disobeyed him by not worshiping him. And then when he threw them in that furnace to punish them, God delivered them. And when they come out, he said, I saw a fourth one in there. Now, your God is the real God. It made an impression on him. So, whenever the human authority says do something that's outside of God's will, like worship the king, then we should disobey. The other situation where we disobey is God's will says to do something, and that something is outside of the will of our human authority. Our human authority says don't do that. Two good examples of that. One is with the disciples. The leaders there in Jerusalem said, do not teach about this Jesus anymore. And we're going to look at this story in detail. This is the only one we're going to look at tonight. And that's where this lesson came from. The name. Who should we obey? You judge. God or men? We should obey God rather than men. So they said, don't do it. God said, do it. Therefore, they disobeyed. The other example is with Daniel, where the Nebuchadnezzar said, don't pray to anybody but the king for this time period. Daniel continued to pray to God. He disobeyed that and was thrown into the lion's den, and God delivered him. So this is kind of, you know, these are illustrations of kind of what it looks like. The authority coming from God to designated authorities and directly to us. We always have to deal with him directly. It's not just through these authorities. We can see here how we always obey God and we obey the authority as they overlap. And when we're trying to decide in a situation, what should I do? Should I be disobedient or obedient? We can look at this decision matrix to go, where does this fit? Is this a situation where it's, you know, if it's God's will and their will that I do this, like pay taxes, then I should pay the taxes, regardless of how the government's going to use those taxes. God will deal with them on that. My responsibility is to obey God and the authority in that situation and pay my taxes, just like Jesus said. So this will help us make decisions, and there's some good examples there. Now, let's look at one example, and that is the apostles in Acts. So here we have in Acts chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 1 through 22, and then in chapter 5, verses 17 through 32. And we're just going to read this story and then kind of comment on it some. So keep in mind, the basic rule is always obey God, obey human authorities in every way possible. Now, as they spoke to the people, this is the apostles teaching and preaching about Jesus. As they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they lay hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. And it came to pass on the next day that the rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, so they went and got the apostles and they put them in the midst of all these leaders, they asked, by what power or what name have you done this? Why are you teaching these things? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. So part of what had gone on as they were teaching is that they were also healing. And they healed this guy on the Sabbath. Peter goes on, he says, "This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone." He's talking about Jesus. Jesus is the chief cornerstone, and you, the religious leaders who should have recognized him for that, rejected him. "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now when they, the leaders, saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." So they sent them outside and they had a conference among themselves. What are we going to do about these guys? "But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name." So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. So they don't like what's going on. They arrest them. They bring them in. They tell them, "Stop teaching in the name of Jesus." That fits right here in this bottom left corner. It was God's will that they preach and teach in the name of Jesus. The authority over them's will was that they stop teaching in the name of Jesus and never do that again. So what decision must they make? They must disobey the human authority. "But Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether is it right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard.' So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed." So you see here, they disobeyed the authority of the leader that told them not to teach anymore because God had told them to teach. One thing that you will notice here is that as they dealt with these leaders, they didn't deal with them in a rebellious way. They just plainly said the truth. That's very important. The attitude with which we deal with leaders when we disobey them is important. They must not see in us a spirit of rebellion, but a steadfastness on the truth and on what God has told us to do. And that's exactly what they did here. And you can see that in other examples of people disobeying authorities as well. And then this whole thing continues on. Some other things happen. And they get arrested. Then we pick up in Acts 5:17. "Then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees. And they were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison." So now they've arrested them and put them in prison. "But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out, and said, 'Go, stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life.'" So God, through the angel of the Lord, told them, "You go and keep doing what I've told you to do. You go and you teach in the name of Christ," which is exactly the opposite of what the leaders had told them to do. "And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and talked." They went and did exactly what they was told to do. "But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with the elders of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought." So they don't know yet that God has already let them out and told them to go back and teach again and disobey the leaders. So they sent to have them brought out. But when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, "Indeed, we found the prison shut securely, and the guards standing outside before the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." So the angel of the Lord had led them out without the guards or anybody even knowing. The prison was still completely locked up. The guards were still there, but the prisoners were no longer inside. And when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priest heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. So one came and told them. So they went and sent for them. They came back, said they're not there. They're trying to figure out what in the world is going on here. And then somebody else comes up and says, "Look, the men that you put in prison are standing in the temple teaching the people." Then the captain of the guard went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. So they went and they got them and brought them back to the leaders. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, "Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you fill Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on our hands. Says, we told you to stop doing this, and instead you've continued to do it, and everybody in Jerusalem is now hearing this teaching from you that we told you to stop." But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." His response was, "We ought to obey God rather than men." The apostles understood the flow of authority. They understood that there was a line directly from God to them as individuals. This angel of the Lord had come to them and said, "You go back out there and preach Jesus again." And they did, because God directly said, "You do this thing." And they obeyed his authority. These apostles also understood that the leaders of Israel had authority over them as well. And they would obey it when they should. They'd pay the temple tax. They would do things properly when they went in the temple. But when that authority that they had crossed the line, and they told them to stop doing what God had directly told them to do, they disobeyed that authority. Because those temple leaders in Israel and leaders of Jerusalem's authority over them was conditional. It was conditional on them being in line with what God's will was. And when they stepped outside of that, the apostles disobeyed them blatantly, publicly, but not disrespectfully, not without submission to authority, not with a rebellious heart, because God hates rebellion. He says rebellion is just like the sin of witchcraft. God hates rebellion. He wants us to be submissive, but we need to understand, and the apostles understood that, that our submission is first to God, and then secondarily to human authorities as they have been given authority through God. Whenever the human authority's desire for us does not overlap with God's desire for us, we have to disobey. When the human authority tells us not to do what God told us to do, we have to disobey. When the human authority tells us to do something God said do not do, we have to disobey. But in every other way, in every legitimate way that human authority exercises their authority, we should submit to it and be obedient. Because when we are disobedient, when they cross the line, then our witness and our testimony is powerful. And it's in their face. And the people around us can look at it and go, "You know, those Christians are the best citizens around. They do everything just like they should. But they are opposed to this thing and they speak the truth plainly. When they're told to do this thing, they refuse to do it. They may not agree, but they can see that it's not from a rebellious attitude, but from a stand on the truth and on what's right and on submission to God." So we always obey God, and we obey human authorities in every way possible. But when they conflict with God, we disobey them, not out of rebellion and disobedience to them, but out of submission and obedience to God.